goals. Chapter 13, Sense of Ownership. The previous several chapters have provided a set of coaching tools and techniques designed to help you get your product managers to competence. However, in this and the next several chapters, I would like to explore coaching behavior and mindset. A strong product person is not just competent in terms of knowledge and skills. She also has an effective product mindset and consistently demonstrates good judgment in her decisions and her interactions. In this chapter, I discuss an important mindset for a product person, which is the difference between thinking like an owner versus thinking like an employee. I want to acknowledge up front that this chapter touches on a sensitive subject for many people, because the topic can quickly get personal, especially for those who have grown up in countries with different attitudes towards work and its role in one's life. But this is why I need to remind everyone that I'm all about sharing the practices and techniques from what I consider the best tech product teams in the world. I'm not trying to share what most companies do. You learned in the preface what I think of how most companies work. I'm trying to share best practice. I'm also trying to judge best by objective results and not by subjective standards. With those caveats, many product leaders have heard the phrase, we want to hire product people that think like an owner and not like an employee. But what does that really mean? And just how important is this really? In Jeff Bezos' original 1997 letter to shareholders, he stated, we will continue to focus on hiring and retaining versatile and talented employees and continue to weight their compensation to stock options rather than cash. We know our success will be largely affected by our ability to attract and retain a motivated employee base, each of whom must think like, and therefore must actually be, an owner. He reiterated this critical point yet again in his most recent shareholder letter. Jeff Bezos is trying to tell us all something extremely important, and that one of the most important things a good manager can help develop in her product people is an owner's mindset. So, let's consider this think like an owner concept. This is similar to the missionaries, not mercenaries concept, but in truth, it's not too hard to get excited about something meaningful, like a compelling product vision, yet not think like an owner. So, while I think most owners act like missionaries, not all missionaries act like owners. You know now that creating empowered product teams involves giving product teams ownership of a problem to solve so that they have the ability to solve problems the best way they see fit. The empowered product team model depends on product people who think like an owner, but it doesn't usually happen just because the product person is working on an empowered team. I, Marty, still remember how the concept was first explained to me when I was considering expanding from a tech lead to take on the product manager responsibilities, along with the rationale I was given to my inevitable questions of why. I was told that, as product manager, to think like an owner meant I needed to feel a real obligation and responsibility to my customers, my product team, my stakeholders, and my company's investors. Why? Because the product team takes their lead from the product manager, and the team and the company executives will judge me by my words and actions. I was told that my product team was counting on me to provide them the strategic context necessary for the designers and engineers to come up with the best possible solutions. Why? Because teams do much better work when given the context and a problem to solve rather than describing to them the so-called requirements of a solution. I was told that, in order to do this, I need to do my homework. Customers, data, business, and industry, a phrase I've repeated literally thousands of times. Why? Because the designer and engineers need someone on the team with this knowledge and context, and this would be my direct contribution to solving the problems the team has been assigned. I was told I had to commit to figuring out a way over whatever obstacles would arise, and to expect that many would indeed arise. Why? because technology products are never easy. I remember the actual phrase. There will always be many good reasons not to ship, and it's your responsibility to figure out a way over, around, or through each obstacle. I was told that my performance would be measured by results, a popular phrase again today, but that was literally the tagline for HP in the 1980s. Why? Because we need to be careful never to confuse output with outcome. Our customers care about results, not effort or activity. I was told that to succeed meant I'd have to work hard to establish and maintain relationships with people from all across the company who I'd need to depend on and who would depend on me. Why? Because in a company, especially a large company, there are many people there to ensure that the assets are protected. The sales force, the revenue, the customers, the reputation, and getting things done in a company means understanding and respecting these constraints by coming up with solutions that work for the business. I was told that the leaders of the company would be continuously judging me to decide if they felt I had done my homework, if I was thinking and acting like an owner, and if the product team was in good hands. Why? Because executives of companies with the empowered team model learn that the product manager is the canary in the coal mine. I was told I'd have to take responsibilities when things didn't go well and give credit to the team when things did go well. Why? Because that's what good leaders and good owners do. I was told that it was my responsibility to motivate and evangelize to my team. Why? Because we want a team of missionaries, not mercenaries. Finally, as most product people have heard many times before, I was told that I'd have the responsibility to ensure success, but not the authority to direct people. Why? Because innovation depends on true collaboration with design and engineering, which is a peer relationship and not a reporting relationship. There are other reasons as well, but that's for another chapter. Now, I'm not claiming this is verbatim, but I do think it is a fairly reasonable recollection. And in terms of thinking like an owner versus an employee, it is very much the same message I try to pass along to product people I coach. If I had to boil it all down, I'd say that thinking like an owner versus thinking like an employee is primarily about taking responsibility for the outcome rather than just the activities. Interestingly, I often try to convince exceptional designers and engineers to consider moving to product management, and while I've had some good success with that, the single most common objective I hear is an unwillingness to take responsibility for outcomes and the pressure that implies. I understand and respect their choice on that, but I do agree with Jeff Bezos that this is an important mindset, especially for product managers. Sidebar, the power of equity. When discussing thinking like an owner, it's important to acknowledge that this entire discussion is directly related to the stock compensation topic. Stock compensation is designed so that you are literally an owner, not just thinking like one. I believe it's not at all an accident that the top tech product companies in the world use equity, either in the form of stock options or grants, to spread ownership. It's no secret that this is a big contributor to the innovation engine that powers Silicon Valley. Many people think the equity topic only applies to startups, but it applies to companies of all sizes, including some of the largest and best product companies, such as Amazon, Google, Netflix, and Apple. However, less well known is that in many parts of the world, the local tax laws make awarding equity difficult. I can't help but notice that I hear a lot more of the dreaded refrain, "That's not my job," at these companies. There are other ways besides equity to have your key employees share in the actual rewards of product success. The most obvious is a company profit-sharing plan. But I do think if CEOs want their key people to think and behave like owners, they should compensate them like owners. Nobody expects that an individual contributor engineer will get the same level of equity as a senior vice president, but it doesn't take much to be material if the company does in fact do well. Similarly, it's important to evergreen the equity. What this means is that you don't want people to leave once they have fully vested. So you continue to award additional stock to your strong performers every year. An evergreen strategy with equity means that your best people will always feel like they would be leaving behind substantial compensation if they exit before they are fully vested. To me, this is an example of a clear win-win. It's very good for the employee and very good for the company, and hence the company's shareholders. However you accomplish it, as a manager, I have always found it immensely powerful to be able to point out that the employee is a part owner in the company just as I am. We need to be thinking about creating value for the company over the long term and not just focusing on our specific daily issues.